people. This meeting's different. We study the book. I also use information from Carry This Message and the Steps We Took. You want to hold those up, man? And that's by Joe McHugh of the Joe and Charlie, and we study the program of recovery. And on Sunday night, tonight, we're finishing step 11, and we're using some information because we finished the part on the book. On Wednesday night, if you could be here at 7:30, we're going to finish Vision for You, the first 164 pages. And the last page 164 is really the most powerful page, I guess, in the book. When you think about it, it has the whole deal. So if you can join us on Wednesday night, and then we're going to start the book over. And then on Saturday morning, we're on page 58. Took us 6 months to get there. I guess I'm going slower than usual. And we're going to go right through the How It Works preamble, and then steps 3 through 12. So if you can join us, that would be, it'll be helpful to you. I usually say the set aside prayer when I open the meeting, but it's not on the podcast. So I'm going to ask God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others, especially all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Reveal yourself today in the material we're going to be studying tonight. Amen. All right, we're finishing the continuing the grow. This is our fourth week on it, but it's got so much powerful information on a review of 10 and 11. And for those who are new, we want to find a way to live. Anybody think that's a good idea? So we don't have to drink and we don't have to use, and we can have some peace and happiness in our lives. And 10 and 11 is how we do that every day. And we're on the last two pages, and then I'm going to look at the St. Francis prayer as an example of prayer on the back of our spiritual checklist card. And then we have this new card. For those listening to podcasts, Patty's going to put it on the site. I don't know what to call it yet. Anybody got any ideas? I thought it would be the solution, because this card shows us the whole deal. We're on page 148, and he's talking about prayer. It says, you know, we don't have to pray for material things. I wrote that they become expectations, then they become resentments, then they things that I think I need and I want can become my higher power. And it says we pray for God's will. And remember, step 11 says we're seeking to improve my conscious relationship with God, seeking only knowledge of His will for me, not my will for me, His will for me and His power to carry that out. My will got me in trouble. Anybody else's will get you in trouble? Yeah. And it says if we carry out God's will, our material needs will be met. I think that's true. Some people don't have much material needs when they come in here, but that's probably because they were carrying out their will and not God's will. But it doesn't guarantee that. What it guarantees us, Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer to ask, give us this day our daily bread. And bread means all of our needs for that day. The way I look at it is I see my daily bread as my spiritual needs, my spiritual power, the spiritual bread I need to get through every day. And it says we're not given enough for a week, we're given enough for one day, and we tend to overload the day with problems of yesterday and tomorrow. This puts a strain on the bread for that day. Our part is to keep our focus on one day only. Sound like a good idea? God will supply our needs for that day. And on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, why worry? Because you can't add anything to your life through worry. And don't worry about today or tomorrow. Yesterday or tomorrow, because today has enough problems of its own. And and it says in the big book on page 63, on the third step, it says if we make a decision not to play God anymore, anybody think that's a good idea? Then we have a new employer, and he will provide everything we need, God, our employer, if I stay close to him and do his work well. So the whole AA program is if I stay close to God and do His work, then He'll give me everything I need. And I think that's been true for me. Now, there's a warning. If you don't stay close to God and don't play the role he assigns, you're going to get what you need. And it may not be what you want. Every one of us was put here on earth to serve a specific purpose, to do a specific job. That is God's will for us. And we have within us the knowledge of what that job is. And then I write, who do I work for? Well, it says, I work for God. God's my employer. I work for him. And my job each day is to serve him and others, right? And to fit myself to do that. And a lot of people say, well, what is their job? Well, I say, if you're married, be a good husband. If you're working, whatever you do, be a good employer. If you're an AA, be a good AA member. If you're a dad, be a good dad. Be a good human being. The challenge is whether we do that job while you're here or whether we do our own thing. I've learned from many years of experience that the happiness I will ever be is when I can find out what my job is and start doing it. And I think that's true. When I'm doing God's will and God's work, I feel good. And when I get back in the self, then I don't feel good. We will feel better, perform better, be better because we'll be in God's purpose. And I wrote, when I'm in conscious contact with God, I have peace. When I'm in the now, I have peace. And they talk in the scripture about peace, and they use the word shalom, which was a peace beyond all understanding. It's a special peace you get from God. And I think that's what the promises are really all about. It says, through prayer and meditation, the big book study, this is kind of complicated. He's talking about listening and meditation. And you can be able to listen to the sense and act on that it sends. I thought about it. Meditation to me is to focus on something and then meditate and have God give me images or thoughts on what I'm reading. And it becomes an intuitive thing. It becomes a sixth sense. Things just crop into your mind that you would never have thought of while you're meditating on something. And what we're going to look at tonight is the St. Francis Prayer. And we're going to look at that as a form of prayer meditation. And that's on the back of the spiritual checklist, which is on the site for those listening to the podcast. We call this, for the new people, the spiritual checklist. And each chapter in this book about a step is open with an excerpt from Bill Wilson's description of his first experience with what was to become the 12 steps. And this chapter's headnote was Bill's description of his own step 12. And that passage states the essence of the program. And this is in Bill's story, very powerful two paragraphs. It says, I was to test my thinking, my new thinking, my relationship with God by my new God consciousness within. We've all had a God conscious, we just never let it work. We blocked it out. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. And sometimes you're doing things that you never used to do before. You're reacting differently. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Now that ties in with the final paragraph on page 88 on step 11, instructions, when it says when we're doubtful or agitated, what do? We pause, powerful pause. Pause means I stop my thinking and I pause. I put a stop sign to my brain, stop. And then I ask God for the right thought or action. I never used to pause before. Anybody else pause a lot? No, I used to just rush right in there. And then I only want direction, strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Never was I prayed for myself, except as my request bore my usefulness to others. Then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. I think that's a promise that's come true. I don't really pray for things for me. I pray for how I want God, how I want to be, and how God will help me be that, and then do as he would have me. My friend, this is a really powerful paragraph, especially we have some new people here. Promise when these things were done, when he worked the steps, and he's living in 10 and 11, he has a new relationship with my Creator. Now, the old relationship I had with my Creator was that he was blocked out. I was playing God. And I didn't allow him to work. And so I would put God to work for me. And that didn't work. The new relationship we want is where God is the center of our lives and we work for Him. And He's the creator and He's the director and I'm the employee. And that would, and He's the Father and I'm the child. I really like that one. I use that one a lot in my meditation. I would have the elements, the things that make up a way of living which answered all my problems. And I wrote, answer all your problems by the new relationships change the way I see them. So I used to have a lot of problems. Anybody have a lot of problems? Now, I remind myself that they're just situations, because life isn't going to stop when we get into recovered. But situations now, and then I ask God, how am I handling every situation, which is different. And so I only have a problem if I think it is. If I don't say it's a problem, I say it's a situation. I say, God, how do I handle this? And that's the serenity prayer, right? God, give me the serenity, the peace. Help me pause from my thinking so that I can see with your glasses whether I need to accept things or change things. And when there are problems and I see it that way, I don't have God directing me and I'll accept things I should change and change things I should accept. Now, I really love this. Belief in the power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. So I wrote this. I wrote a little chart. You're fortunate I didn't copy it, so everybody complained about my handwriting. But I wrote, there are four things I have to believe. And it doesn't say believe in God. This is very important. This is a new word that they put in the big book. I have to believe in the power of God. And I have to be willing, honest, and humble. And then I said, "It's what are we going to establish? We're going to establish a new order of things." And I established through steps 4 through 9. And then I maintain at 10, 11, and then I have the new order. Now, we have this handout on the back of here. I've shown this a million times. You can turn to this. They say our problems are of our own making. Does anybody agree with that? They arise out of ourselves and we're self-will run riot. Anybody agree with that? So this is how it looks in a life of self-will. This is how my life can be at any moment today. But this is how I lived. I lived where God was always inside of me, but He's blocked out. You see it with black circle? Everybody see that? The black circle isn't good, by the way. It's got guilt, remorse, resentment, and fear. And that's the manifestations of self, remember? And so it says sex instincts, social security instincts, the instincts of life are all governed by what I want. And then guess what? I'm in conflict with everyone and everything. And it doesn't look good. That's not a life that I want to live today. But that's how my life was when I came in here. And what we seek to do with the steps is we want to be in harmony with the world. And we want God to be our director, and we want Him to direct me on what I need for my social security and sex instincts. And then I'll be in harmony. God will determine what I want, what I need. So I love this chart. It's really pretty simple, but it's the deal. So when we come in and we say the third step prayer, it means we don't want to be up here anymore, right? And we want to be this way. But I can't live with God's will unless I do steps 4 through 9, unblock God. And 10 and 11 is how I try to live each day, to stay in this with God in the center. So I hope that was helpful. Now we have this spiritual checklist. On the back is the St. Francis prayer. Anybody ever heard of it? It's a good prayer. And if you read the 12 and 12 in step 11, this is the prayer that Bill W. uses as an example of how to pray and meditate. And I have this on my exercise bike every morning, sitting right up there. And I start out with this, and I meditate that I don't want to be this anymore, and I don't try to be this today all day. But then I look at the St. Francis prayer, and to me, this is how I want to be all day. This is how if you want to know what God's will is for you, to me, this answers the question, what God's will is for me. And I want to be a channel of His peace. By the way, St. Francis didn't write this. Everybody knows that? This prayer was discovered in France in 1917 or something in a church. and then people thought it was really good. Nobody knows who wrote it. They thought it embodied everything that St. Francis said and preached, so they gave it the name St. Francis Prayer. It was adopted quickly by the Catholic Church in France, and people became very familiar with this, and it's a really great prayer. I want to be a channel of his peace. Now, the only way I can be a channel of God's peace is if I open it up, right? So I don't want to block God. I want to have God work through me and open the channel. Now, how do I open the channel? Well, that's what prayer and meditation is. And then I'll open the channel if I bring love. And I can't bring love if the channel is blocked, right? So I can't be hateful and loving. I want to bring love. I want to bring a spirit of forgiveness. This is what I want to bring in every situation. Now, one thing that's held true for me, it's an absolute spiritual axiom in my life, that what I bring into every situation is what I get. And when I bring love, I get love back. And when I bring judgment or irritation, I get that back too. And that happened this morning at around 10:30. And it didn't last long, but I was told I need to change. And it says when I'm wrong, when there's wrong, I have to bring forgiveness. And so there's no me bringing hate, is there, in this prayer? And wrong is something that you see. You want to bring forgiveness. Where there's discord, I bring harmony. Where there's error, I bring truth. Where there's doubt, I may bring faith. Where there's despair, I may bring hope. Where there's shadows, I may bring light. Where there's sadness, I may bring joy. Now, we have a lot of new people here, some people early in the program, and you're saying, well, if you work the steps, then this is how you'll be able to be this way all the time with God. And when you come in, you can't be that way because you've lived your whole life on the right hand, on the left-hand side of this card. And this is the way we've lived. We practice this way of living. We have to practice a new way of living. And so this prayer is a meditation on how to live on the right-hand side and live in God's will. It says in the big book, it's a must. It says we must carry a vision of God's will in all our activities. Well, what is that? Well, that's what this is for me. So I meditate this. I want to bring love. I want to bring forgiveness, harmony, truth, faith, hope, light, joy. Well, I do this at 8:30, at 11 o'clock when I'm bringing something else, I stop. I say that's not what I want to bring into this situation. Does this make sense? I want to stop, so I want to pause. I don't want to be on the left-hand side. Now, I get there. We all get there, but we don't have to stay there. Now, here's something was entirely new concept to me when I came in here. I want to comfort rather than be comforted. Now, alcoholics, we always want to be comforted, understood, and we want to be loved, right? But that's not what the prayer it says. I want to seek the comfort. I want to understand and I want to love. It's not what I want to get out, it's what I want to bring. And when I bring that, I will get that back. And that's how you self-forget. You self-forget by seeking to help get out of yourself. And then you find what? You find God and God's will for you and God's power and peace. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. A lot of people have trouble forgiving in AA when they come in here, some after quite a while. All you have to do is forgive. It's all you have to do is forgive. And then one is forgiven. And then you will forgive if you work this fourth step on your resentments and you look at the first three columns and you see the person that you want to forgive was just a human being like you. That we're all human beings and we all make mistakes and we all have personalities and that they are spiritually ill, just like me, remember? And so when you look at it as we're all God's kids, and then you can forgive. And the only person who keeps you from forgiving is yourself. And if you don't forgive, then you're not forgiven. And remember, if you hold on to a resentment, this is what you're saying. Remember we say a resentment will keep you sick, will kill you. Resentments are poison, because if you're holding on a resentment, you're not forgiving, then you can't have God's power in your life. And it's by dying that one awakens to eternal life. I want to die to self. I want to be free of the bondage of self. And then I have eternal life right now, in the now. So I don't know about you, but I think this prayer is just is the deal for me, and it's very apropos for my alcoholism. And so I meditate on this a lot. People don't know what you should meditate on. Try the St. Francis prayer. Just look at it each day, read it, think about it, and make a vision of how you should be in each situation. It says in the big book, we should ask for love, patience, kindness, and tolerance for our family and for everyone each day. And they say, God, show me the way of love, tolerance, and patience, the way of it. And the way of it is to meditate on this, how I can bring, what I'm bringing into every situation. So I thought that would be a good thing to end the 11 step prayer meditation with. And then this is the world of alcoholism. For those on the podcast, Patty will have this on the site. I think I'm going to call it The Solution. Scott and I drew in his book, and I made little figures, and he and Lal thought it was pretty good. And then I made the one that, in my own handwriting, everybody made fun of me. And I took it personally, by the way, but I did forgive everyone in the room after about 3 days. And Mike Herman made this one, and this is another, I consider this like this in the spiritual checklist, or like the keys to my recovery. And I think Gary wanted me to put the long form of the serenity on the back of this, right, Gary? And I'm going to try to have Patty do that, because that's really a great prayer, the long form of the serenity prayer. So I wrote, the world of my alcoholism, that's the world that I lived in when I came here, right? And it was a world that I created. It wasn't even the real world. And it's where I played God and I was separated. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't realize it wasn't really true. It was the way I saw things. I was living in a world that wasn't real because I saw things differently than the way God saw them. And when I did that, I was restless, irritable, discontented. Anybody restless, irritable, discontented when you came in here? Well, why? You're separated from God. You have no power. Plus, you're full of anger, fear, shame, guilt, and harmful actions. Now, if you have that, and this, if you're separated from God and you're an alcoholic or an addict, and you're restless, irritable, discontented, and you have anger, fear, shame, guilt, and harmful actions, you're going to drink or use. And then that doesn't work, and then you have more shame and guilt and harmful actions, and it snowballs. Now, for people who aren't alcoholic or addicts, they stay in their separate world, and they're just miserable. Now, we're lucky, because we have a plan and steps where we can change. Now, if you come in here and you see that you have a hopeless and futile life, and she mentioned, you know, things were really bad in her life when she came in here. Well, that's true. And then you say, I don't want to live in this world anymore. Anybody think that's a good idea? So I don't want to live in this world. So steps 1 through 3 is where I begin the process of moving out of this world I've created into right order of my life. And that's where I get in order with God. And step 1 is where I understand I'm powerless over alcohol and I can't manage my life. I don't want to be in that world that I created. Step 2 is a belief that there's a different world. There's a world with God and that God has the power and I don't have to stay in the situation I'm in. And step 3 is a decision that I'm going to move out and I'm going to move towards a new life where God's going to be my power. He's going to direct my life and my thoughts. And this is the arch to freedom that they build. They talk about it throughout the big book. We're building this arch to freedom. Now, the one I drew was a little better, but we won't get into that. But the arch to freedom, there's not enough room on the card, so I'm just being silly. Don't tell Mike. The arch to freedom, the foundation of this arch is willingness. It's step 1. The cornerstone of the arch is belief that God can help me. The keystone is the step 3 decision, right? And then the actions of 4 through 9 complete the arch. And when I'm in step 9 and I've done this work, I'm entering the world of the Spirit. That's what it says on page 84. We've entered the world of the Spirit. Now that's a good place, by the way. Now anybody like the 9-step promises? Anybody think they're good? They're good, aren't they? Well, the 9-step promises are only when you're in the world of the Spirit. The 9-step promises are only when you've moved through the arch. And it says you will be amazed before you're halfway through step 9. And it just happens. And it's a miracle, right? And suddenly God is doing for us what I cannot do for myself. So this is for a new person. This is what you want to do. You want to decide you don't want to live here. You have somebody go through steps 1 through 3, and then you make a decision. You work step 4. It's not hard. We're going to go through it on Saturdays. We're almost at that part of the book. 4 through 9, and then you're in the real world where God is the center and includes him and everything connected to God. Now, Chuck C., a lot of people don't know Chuck C., but he was really famous in AA for a long time, and his book, A New Pair of Glasses, was really fundamental. He was Richard Chamberlain's dad. You're too young to remember Richard Chamberlain, but that's why I became a doctor, because he was Dr. Kildare, and my mother loved Dr. Kildare. And I said, oh, if I could just be like Dr. Kildare, everybody will love me. And well, it did work out quite that way. But anyway, he was a very famous actor. And his dad got sober in 1945, and in 1977, he did this men's retreat, and they taped it. It's called A New Pair of Glasses. You can get it on XA speakers. You can get it on the internet. It's powerful. And he says, we only have one problem, alcoholics. We think we have a lot of problems when we come in here. We only have one problem. We're separated from God. Conscious separation. We're living up here. And there's only one solution, conscious contact down here. And he says, that's the whole deal. Because when I'm living up here, I have no power in my life to live. And when I live here, I have all the power I can ever need. And it says, this is the world of the promises. The obsession's removed. We're not fighting. We're in fit spiritual condition. Now, this is the world of the spirit. Now, you want to stay in the world of the spirit. Anybody think that's a good idea? Well, good. You better do steps 10, 11, and 12 every day. That's why we spend so much time on step 10 and 11. Step 10 is where I see when I'm moving, beginning to move out of the world, right, Jimmy? I'm watching. And I'm watching the world I'm in with God, and I want to get into my world. I start to have resentment, fear, shame, guilt, anger, intolerance, judgment. I'm on the left-hand side. God says, now, do you really want to go there, Michael? And so I'm watching with God, and I say, bad idea. And I say, God, at once remove all these character defects to get me back. And step 10 is where we do that all day long. None of us stay in the world with God all day long unless you're in coma. And because we're alcoholics and we see things, but we have to stop deciding that what we're seeing is true and stop when we see things that isn't in the reality of God's world. Now, how do you know that? You're getting angry, you're getting afraid, you're judging, you're intolerant, you're impatient, your character defects are coming into play. And step 11 is where you meditate and pray so that you can do the daily inventory better. And at night is in step 11 where you look at your day and you see where you were in the world and where you weren't. And then it says, you ask yourself, were you kind and loving to all? Could you have done better? Were you thinking about yourself all the time? And then it says, don't get into remorse or morbid reflection, but ask God's forgiveness every night before you go to bed. Say, God, forgive me, and ask him what corrective measures I should take. And then when you wake up in the morning, then you start with your prayer for God's direction. So I hope people found this helpful. And so I'm going to stop here, and we'll open up. And then next week, we're going to do working with others. Okay, thanks.